The Fear Opportunity, How Feeling Your Fear Builds Strength and Confidence, written and read by Victoria Pendleton. Introduction. When I tell people I've taken up extreme sports in my retirement from professional cycling, they generally respond to me in one of two ways. Both options approach my hobbies as pathologies to be diagnosed, but they offer up different causes for my condition. It's either nature or nurture, and the first group are certain that I must have simply been born this way. It's clear to them that the career I had was a result of an innate willingness to push myself to extremes, and skydiving, surfing, or competing at the Cheltenham Festival is just really a continuation of that disposition. I'm sure there's some truth in this theory. My mum recently dug out a drawing I did as a 10-year-old titled What I Want to Be When I Grow Up. And in it, I painted myself as both a gold medalist and a professional jockey, as well as someone who would one day own not one, but two rabbits. This alone suggests that I've always had an appetite for risk and an openness to challenges, as well as some sort of clairvoyant ability to foresee the multiple medals and the menagerie of animals that have been a feature of my life. The second diagnosis, sorry, response, is that I was conditioned into this state by the pattern of my professional life as an Olympian. These analysts argue that the constant cycle of competition, elation, and relief in which I lived somehow created an adrenaline-shaped hole that I simply had to fill afterwards with mountains and motorcycles. Again, this is plausible. There's no direct substitute for the feeling of working towards a gold medal for 4 years and performing under intense stress to win the race that matters. It's well documented that many sports people fall into patterns of addiction when their careers are over, and experts that work with them often point to a sort of dopamine dependency that develops through a lifetime in elite sport. Winning the Olympics or a world championships offers a high that's hard to match outside of the sporting arena. And when our bodies are no longer capable of competition, many ex-professionals turn to addictive and self-destructive alternatives. You will see throughout this book that I do not see equivalence between the challenges I take on and harmful addictive behaviours. I'm not really a fan of the term adrenaline junkie. This is because I believe there is a third explanation for my desire to take on stressful challenges. Put simply, I think it is a good idea. I would argue that feeling, facing, and utilising fear is both rational and healthy. Yes, I understand how that sounds. Climbing Everest equals rational. Racing at Cheltenham, having hardly ridden a horse, equals healthy. It's counterintuitive. And even though racing thoroughbred horses is unlikely to be prescribed by your GP anytime soon, I cannot shake the sense that these challenges enrich our lives. Like many people who do difficult things for pleasure, I believe that there are opportunities in the things that frighten us and deeper, long-term benefits to stepping outside of our comfort zones. I suspect that my peaceful moments are more so for the shocks that I have endured, that my sense of what is possible is expanded, and my ordinary stresses are somehow transformed by the experience of extraordinary ones. We are stronger and more confident when we feel fear and act. It is our guide and our energy source. And if we follow it, we have an opportunity to replace the anxiety in our life, which is nothing but a drain. This might be the point at which you're wondering whether my suggestion that you climb Everest is actually that practical, given you have a school run in 15 minutes. You may agree that racing in the next Grand National would really put stressful work presentations into perspective, but that substituting one for the other isn't really an option.